have given us so much more than we deserve. You deliver us by the power of your word. God, we lift you up, giving you the honor that is yours. Thank you for your love, Father, this is what we're living for. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire. Give us your desires. Hold us close to you. Holy Spirit, give us revelation, a healing visitation. Nothing else will do. We want more and Savior's mercy, oh, the blood that makes us spotless white, oh, the love that covers us, oh, the Savior's mercy, oh, the blood that makes us spotless white, oh, the love that covers us. Oh, the Savior's mercy. Oh, the blood that makes us spotless white. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire. Give us your desires. Hold us close to you. Revelation, a healing visitation, nothing else will do. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire, give us your desires, hold us close to you.
Jesus, praise your name, Jesus. God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks, Jesus. Praise your name.
You may be seated if you'd like.
In the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus.
all stand at this time.
Hallelujah.
As we were singing that last song, it just, I couldn't help it. You know, God, he's the one that puts a smile on our face. He can want to, you know, it could turn our frown upside down. And I got thinking about today, about the table that God has spread before us today. And we have a plate in front of us. I don't want there to be one crumb to fall off the plate. I don't want it to hit the floor. I want to scoop up everything that he has for me. And I believe that is what I believe is for others in here today, what that is your desire too. Brother Mike, would you pray for the offering? Amen.
My God is more than enough. He shall supply all my needs. He is my El Shaddai. He always looks out for me. Jehovah Jireh. He is my God. Supply all my needs. He is my help to die. He always looks out for me. Jehovah Jireh. He is my God. My God is more than enough. He shall supply all my needs. He is my help to die. He always looks out for me. Jehovah Jireh.
Saying that I've said many times, it's only When you have nothing left but God, it's then and only then do you realize that He is more than enough. I'm thankful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for without Him, nothing is impossible. You and I can do nothing on our own but through the power and provision of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, why don't you clap your hands? Why don't you lift your voice? Old song of the church simply says, without Him, I would be nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. For without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. I'm so glad I've come to know the One who gives me direction, the One who leads and guides me. I'm so thankful. Oh, thank you, Jesus. How wonderful it is to know You. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I do want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement. First of all, I want to say a sincere thank you to all of those that helped here in the last few days. Starting back Wednesday, we had every intention of having midweek service this last week, but I showed up here a few hours before service and realized that our main breaker, which we had been having problems with, and we had planned to address on Thursday and Friday. It caused us to have to address it a little bit sooner. So I apologize for having to cancel service, but I wasn't set up to have a candlelight service. So we had to postpone, and thank you for, I want to say special thanks, Sister Doris, Sister Pat Phillips. They immediately got on the phone and just kept calling people, and that's another reason why we need your information, a directory, a telephone number, so when things like this happen, although they are few and far between, that we're able to get in touch with you and let you know. I do want to say a big thank you to Brother Tom Kreger, Brother Mike Duell. They made their way up here on Wednesday night and helped me, and we got it almost all put back together Wednesday evening. And then Thursday, Brother Tom was up here, and then Friday had a lot of other guys and showed up. And so I just want to say thank you. It does me proud to see you come and help us. And if you haven't seen the kitchen, it's not done, but it's well on its way of being a much better, nicer looking, just all around good deal down there. And so we're looking forward to having that completed here in the next couple weeks. There will be people working at various times. And so if you have opportunity to come and help us, maybe have an evening that you'd be able to come, and please see myself or Brother Tom, and we can make arrangements to have some help and get more done. We thank you so much for doing that. And I want to say this, 2 weeks from tonight, which I believe is June the 5th, we are going to have a special time of celebration, if you will. We have two high school graduates among us, and they graduated this year, the Colin or the Max. And so we're going to have a little celebration Sunday night after service on June the 5th. And so we want you to come, enjoy the refreshments, enjoy the time together, fellowship. Obviously, they'd be more than willing to take cards and letters and that green stuff if you want to give it. And so we're just, it's good to take life events like this and commemorate them and celebrate Him together as a family, as a body of believers. Say we want to see God do great things in their lives if they make the next step forward in Him. Why don't you stand, grab your Bibles. John chapter number 12, reading from a passage that no doubt many of us have heard, read, preached from before, but the last few weeks or so, and God's been dealing with my heart, and Even last night as I struggled to put things down and notes and just really, I don't know about you, but there's some times that I, in my preparation and my study, and I know I feel impressed. I know God is leading me in direction. At least I feel that way. But it's just like when I go to put the thoughts down on paper, put them in my notes, it just doesn't flow. And so I sometimes question, Lord, is this really the direction you want me to go? Is this because it's not flowing? It's not, I'm not doing that, you know, download where I really know that this is what you want. So as often many times I do in studying at my home, the office is kind of in the loft area and all the sound kind of drifts up that way. And so many times I'll put in my earbuds at the computer and I'll turn in Pandora to one of the stations that I listen to, and it's usually softer music. And first song that came up as I was struggling to put things together was a song that the title of the song, as I looked at the title of the song, was almost the exact title of what God had laid upon my heart to speak. And I was like, hey, Lord, that'll do it. I'll take that as confirmation that this is what I'm supposed to do and this is where I'm supposed to go. John chapter number 12. Begin reading in verse number 27. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw. Everybody say draw. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. And the people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And Jesus said unto them, yet a little while, it is the light with you. Is the light with you? Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light. You may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. People always amaze me. And we're standing there. Voice speaks from heaven. Some say it thundered. Others say an angel spake unto him. Jesus once again identifies himself. Jesus once again tries to let them know, I'm him. And even after a voice comes from heaven, and even after some say it thundered and others say an angel spake unto him, they look at Jesus, and because of their misunderstanding of the law, they say, well, the law says that Christ abideth forever, and you say the Son of Man be lifted up. Doesn't equate in our mind. We don't understand all that, Jesus. And so, even though a voice spoke from heaven, they still questioned who Jesus was. But I love what Jesus said in verse number 32 of chapter 12. He said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. With the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject. Draw me nearer. Draw me nearer. Can we pray, Lord Jesus? We love you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house, to lift you up, to magnify your name that is above every name, to give you glory and honor and praise that is so due you. God, we thank you, Lord, that we can come here and feel strength, God, feel encouraged, uplifted in spirit, God, that we can leave this place this morning, God, renewed in the spirit of our mind by your power to help and to move, to strengthen us. Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts and minds to receive your word, that we would understand that we all need to be drawn nearer to you, closer to you, God. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We glorify you. We honor you for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Draw me nearer. Without much conjecture, one could easily conclude that the greatest event in all of human history would have to be the advent of Christ. Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension stand alone at the top of all that has ever happened or ever will happen in regards to life. And nothing, I say, nothing is even close in comparison. What Jesus did in a space of time affected all of time, even eternity. Jesus was such a special man. He was, as I often say, my hero. He, the man Christ Jesus, what he did and how he lived, it is the greatest story ever told. One writer put it succinctly this way. He said, Jesus had no servants, yet they called him master. He had no degree, and yet they called him teacher. He had no medicines, and yet they called him healer. He had no army, yet kings feared him. He won no military battles, yet he conquered the whole world. He committed no crime, yet they crucified him. He was buried in a tomb, and yet he lives today. This man, Jesus. I realize that this morning, as I stand before you and I preach from this pulpit, I realize that we are in this particular setting on this particular day. But I also realize that on this morning throughout the whole world that Jesus Christ will be the most discussed singular subject in all the world. Let that sink in for a moment. There will be a lot of people discussing a lot of things. There will be a lot of people doing other things. There will be a lot of people listening or allowing to infiltrate their heart and their mind and their ears other things. But on this morning and throughout the world, this time right now, more people are hearing the singular subject of Jesus Christ. I realize it's not all in truth. I realize some it's in pretense. I also realize, as the Apostle Paul said, whether it be in truth or whether it be in pretense, I give glory that Jesus Christ is preached. I for one, feel so privileged to be a part of something that I know goes so far beyond me. Something so magnificent, something so miraculous, that even, if nothing else, even the staunchest skeptic should realize the magnetism of the moments that took place over 2,000 years ago is such that it is still drawing men and women today. What Jesus did, the life that he lived, for some it would be considered such old news, but for us, for we who believe, I realize that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, but for us that believe it is the power of God, we understand that it is not old news. We can get up every service time and talk about Jesus, and it's still just as real now. It happens. The magnetism of the moments that Jesus lived, it's still drawing people.
When the cross is preached, the conviction that comes is still drawing people to Calvary. And I'm so thankful. I'm so privileged to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that I am a part of something so magnificent, something so much bigger than just this moment and just this service, but something that even now throughout all the world being heard in the ears of so many. Wow. When I think along those lines, I am so astonished. I am so amazed at this man called Jesus. But we also should know, as I begin to think about this, I, as I said, the Lord's been dealing with me for the last couple of weeks, and I've just been thinking on the subject of being drawn to God, of being drawn, and why is it that some are drawn and some seem like they're repelled? Why is it that some, it's like they can't get enough, and others, just the mention of the word is enough to turn them aside? And I've wondered why. Why is it there is this this magnetism, if you will, that appeals to some and repels others? Why is it, Lord, that your story and what you did and the price that you paid, when we really look into it, we cannot help but be drawn by it. We cannot help but wonder. We cannot help but look on in amazement that any man could have lived as this man did, that any man could have done as this man did. And we understand and we know there is more artwork in all the world. There is more literary work in all the world. There are more stories and more messages upon the subject of Jesus Christ than anything in all the world. So I began to think about this. And the Bible tells, Jesus himself said, "And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." So I begin to think about this, what we might call magnetism, this drawing of men. And the Bible tells us in Romans 2:4 that it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It is the goodness of God that we see in the example of Jesus Christ that causes us or leads us or draws us or has that magnetism to us to repent and come before God. So I began to think about this, and I began to do a little study on magnetism. And though I don't have time to go into all of it, let's just suffice it to say that in magnetism, it is the opposites that attract. It is the opposite poles, if you will, of the magnet that causes the attraction between the two. Like polarity repels, but opposites attract. So I begin to think about this. We all know, I quote it many, many times, that Romans 1:20 says that we understand spiritual things by natural things. We see and understand how God works. We can observe nature. We can observe creation. We can look at those things that are observable from a natural sense. And can from those things understand spiritual things. So I began to think about it. Why is it that come into a service and power and presence of God can be moving, and some are moved to emotion and some cry and some sing and some raise their hand, and others sit arms folded, seemingly unmoved? Why is it that the power and presence of God can be in the same place, it's the same atmosphere, it's the same environment, and yet some sit so stoic, so unmoved, as if the greatest presence in all the world is not in their midst? And yet some are so overwhelmed with emotion, and some are so attracted to what they feel that they stretch forth their hands and they feel after him to find that he's not far from any one of us. Why is that? Why is it that we can sit and be in the same place and some can be so different? Then I began to realize, then I began to understand. You see, when we are unmoved and not drawn to the goodness of God, it is simply because we do not recognize our own negative. Say that again. When we can sit unmoved and not drawn to the power and presence of God, it is because we do not recognize our own negative. Stay with me. Therefore, we see no need for the positive. So we can sit stoically and complacent and comfortable in our condition because we don't notice, or we neglect to notice, or we are willingly naive to our need for the goodness of God. We see in ourselves and we think, well, I'm okay. Nothing's wrong. All is good. And so I can sit there and be unmoved and not drawn to the power and presence of God, because it is the opposites that attract. Stay with me. Job 42, 5 and 6 says, I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. We understand he didn't see the Lord in physical form. What he saw was the understanding. What he saw was when the Lord spoke to him from the whirlwind. He realized the error of his ways. He realized his own inferiority. He realized Job had an understanding. He began to see it. He had heard about him in the ear, but now his eyes see. Now I begin to understand. I see the positive. Catch this. I see how wonderful and amazing and miraculous you are. I see the glory and the splendor and the majesty of who you are. And catch the next verse. Wherefore I abhor myself, seeing the positive in you. Reveals the negative in me. Seeing how great and how wonderful and how perfect and how majestic you are reveals how inferior and how helpless and how needy I am. Wherefore I abhor myself and I repent in sackcloth and ashes. I see how wonderful you are. I see the goodness displayed on the cross. I see what you did in your love for all of mankind. And I can't help but see in your perfection, my imperfection. I can't help but see in wonder and amazement how glorious and majestic you are. And in the same light, I see how massive up I am, and it is that goodness of you, it is that perfection of you that causes and it draws me. I gotta have more of you. I realize how deficient I am. I realize how inferior I am, and it draws me to you. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Do we understand the cross, the greatest sign of positivity we could ever see as it was lifted up from the earth? It is the greatest example of love. It is the greatest example of perfection. And in that great example of perfection, it reveals the imperfection of the world. He said, and if I lift it up, I would draw all men unto me. There is something about the magnetism of the preaching of the cross of Christ. And the more I recognize the goodness of God, the more I realize the inability for me to be anything but bad on my own. this draws me nearer to God. This causes me to see myself for who I truly am. Things nobody else knows. I know. But here's the thing. You've got to quit allowing the enemy to convince you that because of your wrongs and because of your mistakes and because of your negative, that somehow repels you from God. Oh no, that is a lie. And he's the father of them. No, what you need to realize is that negative. Now, I don't propose, it's not saying that. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? This is not a license to sin. It's not free grace. You should go and do whatever you want to do. No, but the reality is the more I realize how good he is and how wonderful he is, I become like the Apostle Paul, me a sinner. I am so far, I am the chiefest of sinners. As he understood how good God was, he understood how in and of himself, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So don't let the enemy convince you because you mess up and you make mistakes and there's negativism in your life. Don't let him convince you that that somehow repels God. Oh, no, 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 my friend. It is only those that are broken that need a healer. Jesus said, they that be whole need not a physician. What we need to realize is I'm not whole. I'm broken. I'm messed up. I got bad stuff in my life. But that doesn't repel me from God. I've said it so many times. My dirty and my bad and my mistakes cannot nor will it ever tarnish a perfect, holy, righteous God. I can't mess him up. But he can sure clean me up. And the more I recognize my need for that cleansing, the more I recognize my need for his perfection, the more I recognize the negativism in my own life, guess what? The more I'm drawn to him, the more I see need for improvement. Lord, draw me nearer to you. Let me look at cross. Let me look at Calvary, the ultimate example of love and perfection, and let it draw me. Let it lead me. And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. You see, when we neglect to notice the negative in ourselves, we then do not seek the positive influence of a closer walk in relationship with God. See, I'll prove it to you. I'll prove to you that in reality it is humility and the understanding of my negative draws me to God. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. Listen, Jesus is speaking a parable unto certain people which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. They saw themselves as the positive. And as a result, they were not drawn to God. They trusted in themselves. And he says this, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. What a sad statement. He prayed with himself. Doesn't sound like he was praying to God. He prayed with himself. He was his own audience. We need to understand prideful prayers will not get the attention of God. Because pride does repel. Humility attracts. The Lord is nigh unto them who have a broken and contrite spirit. And if if I come to God with any sort of arrogance in my life, if I come to God thinking I'm better than others, if I come, oh my God, pride and arrogance repels God. Humility draws. Catch it. For the Pharisee prayed with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much. He wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. But smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Listen to what Jesus says. And I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. For it is humility that draws while pride repels. That magnetism of the cross, that understanding of the drawing through Jesus. I don't know why it's so magnetic. Why the preaching of the cross draws. Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself. This man who thought it not robbery to be equal with God understood that even in the midst of his persecution and his ridicule, he could at that moment call down 12 legions of angels. This man who had the power to pull himself from the cross, heal himself. This man, Christ Jesus, this hero of mine, this man humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, here it is. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. I know why preaching of the cross of Christ is so magnetic and it's so drawing. Because Jesus, being formed and fashioned as a man, humbled himself. He took upon the form of a servant. The master of all took upon the form of a Jew. You get it? He who knew no sin, the greatest positive ever, became sin for us. Man, Christ Jesus, this one who we preach about it and we speak about it and we sing about, this man, Christ Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He took all your negative and he took all my negative. He took all your mistakes and he took all my mistakes. The Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us. And there, lifted up from the earth, was the greatest example of positive that has ever lived. The greatest example of perfection in holiness and righteousness. There. He was lifted up. But catch this. Not only was he lifted up in crucifixion, not only was he lifted up in death, not only was this man Christ Jesus lifted up from the earth as he hung upon the cross, but he was also lifted up from death, hell, and the grave when he was resurrected. And he was also lifted up as they stood watching on the Mount of Olives. And he ascended up into the heavens. What are you saying? Do we not understand that this drawing, this magnetism of the man Christ Jesus, yes, he was lifted up from the earth, this signifying what death he would die, but he was also lifted up. And the Bible says that he led captivity captive. And when Jesus arose, read it, it's in Matthew, the Bible says that the graves of the saints were opened. Do we recognize and do we realize that when Jesus came up from hell, and the Bible tells us he went there, he was there, but you will not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Do we realize what was happening in that moment? The magnetism, the drawing, as Jesus, whom hell could not hold, began to ascend from the lower parts of the earth. This drawing from the Father, this exaltation of the man Christ Jesus, as he's coming up from the lower parts of the earth, the graves of the saints could not contained. Oh my God, if we could really understand what's happening in the scope of eternity. Now watch it. Watch it. We understand. We are lifted up. We crucify this whole body in repentance. And we are lifted up. A new creature. We are put on Christ in baptism. We are lifted up. And we walk in a newness of life through the power of the Holy Ghost. We are lifted up from the ways of this world to walk with Him. There is coming a time when this same man shall return, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, what do you think it is that's going to change you from mortal to immortal? What do you think it is that's going to change you and I from corruptible to incorruptible in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye? I'm sorry, I'm having trouble containing myself. Do we realize that in that moment and in the twinkling of an eye, the magnetism of this man coming back? All of a sudden, I'm talking about the rapture of the church. I'm talking about a great drawing. When all of a sudden, you see me, but now you don't. There's a great drawing that's just taken place. Now you catch this. The earth is a magnetic field. Catch it. That's why you can put metal in water and it will point north. What keeps you and I firmly planted on terra firma? It's centrifugal force. Magnetism, a drawing that draws us to the surface. Catch this. But there's coming a time when spiritual laws will break all the laws of nature. And those who have that same spirit which raised up Christ from the dead, it will also quicken your mind. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, Jesus. I'm closing. You continue standing your feet. You see, now I know why God led me in this direction, because half of what I just said ain't in my notes. But you catch this and understand this. what I do in my walking relationship with God is I pray, Lord, compel me to come closer. Draw me closer to you. Lift me up from this world. Catch it. Make no mistake, we can sit around and we can grumble, we can complain about all the negative stuff that's going on in our world. We can talk about, as we did the other night, how it seems like the digression is picking up speed. Whew. All of a sudden, this momentum in a negative direction is happening. Values and morals and ethics that were long standing have crumbled and crumbled fast. When you see these signs, when you see this negativism happening all around you, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Because while all this negativism is happening in this magnetic field of earth that we call this domain, there's something happening in the heavenlies. There's a drawing. And so I say, draw me near. Draw me, let the negativism that I see, now, let it compel me to get closer to you. Let it compel me to lead my family closer to you, God. Because I see the end approaching. I'm not ignorant of the times. I see what's going on and I see what's happening. So Lord, draw me closer. Jesus stood over the city of Jerusalem. The Bible says that Jesus wept. Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem. He that stoned the prophets, kill those that are meant to draw you to me. Got rid of those that are meant to pull you to closer relationship with me. How do I know that? Because Jesus said, oh, how oft I would have gathered thee as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and yet you would not. You ever seen it in nature? You ever seen the mother hen get close to the little chicklets or the little ducklings and all of a sudden sweep them under her wings to protect them and to draw them in close? Could that be what's happening right now in the spirit realm? That the wings of Almighty God are gathering from the four corners of the earth and saying, the time is coming. It's now happening. I'm seeking to draw you closer. Listen to me. Now's not a time to get away. Now's not a time to backslide. Now's not a time to draw away. Now's a time to get just as close as you can get. Now's a time to cut away anything and everything that would keep you and repel you from coming closer to God. And now's the time to say, draw me near.
Hallelujah.
These altars are open. Is there some under the sound of my voice who would say, oh, Pastor, I want to draw nearer to God. I won't let the bad things and the mistakes and the mess ups keep me, and I won't allow the enemy to convince me that they repel me from God. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now is the time. Could it be that he's drawing? Could it be that he's looking out over the earth and saying, I realize the negativism is increasing. I realize what's happening. He knows he's still got the whole world in his hands. But I'm looking for when he splits the eastern sky and the last great drawing of all the saints.
to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Draw me cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding time. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord.
Here's my prayer. Draw me nearer, Jesus.
Draw me nearer.
Let the example that you gave,
nearer, blessed,
let it compel me to come closer.
To thy prayer.
That I might know thee in the power of the resurrection and in the fellowship of thy suffering. Lord, draw me nearer.
Draw me nearer. Blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Draw me nearer, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love for me. And I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious breathing time. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died.
I become powerful witnesses as we learn to lift up the Lord in our lives. Our conversation and our behavior, our actions and our conduct. As we lift up the Lord. As we reveal His preeminence in our lives. That He matters more. That my will be lost in thine. Those who are spiritually sensitive, those who will be drawn, all of a sudden there will be a magnetism. Don't think it's your personality or your looks. Don't let arrogance or pride enter into the equation. Let me know the more I lift up Jesus in my life, the more men and women will be drawn. The better witness I become. It's not that I don't have negative. It's not that I don't make mistakes. But what I don't allow is those mistakes to keep me from drawing closer to Him. I pursue Him. As the heart panted after the water brook, so does my soul after Thee, O Lord. One more time, can you lift your hands? Draw us closer, God. As this world and all its ways continue their downward spiral, destined, God, to damnation without You. Oh, let there be a pull, let there be a magnetism, let there be a drawing that comes. I want nothing to do with this world. I want no part, no parcel. Or all attachments, any affinity, anything that would hold me here is done away with. And I'm drawn to You. Thank You for Your word. Thank You. For once again using but a willing vessel. It's so wonderful. One more time, can you lift your voice? Thank You, Jesus, for Your word. Thank You for our time together here in Your house to magnify Your name, to give You glory and honor. Thank You, Jesus. I bless You for being in the house of the Lord this morning. May go in the precious name of Jesus.